Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's 5 at 5 with Mully and Hall, where we debate the top 5 sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Hall. 5 at 5 with Mully and Hall starts now.
Today was supposed to be opening day. Withholding any doomsday predictions for the sake of the question, whenever the season starts, should an abbreviated year count as service time for players, even if it ends up being a season fewer than 81 games or 50%? What do you think of agent Scott Boras's proposal to play either a 144 or 162 game season starting June 1st and ending on Christmas with neutral site playoff series played in California?
Wow. Thank you, Scott Boras. There's a lot to consider. He's a creative guy. He really is. And look, this was a day that was supposed to be full of excitement and anticipation. There'll still be some excitement. I think that you do what you can to get through it. Like today at 6 o'clock here on The Score, we're going to be broadcasting Mark Burley's perfect game. And from July 23rd, 2009, tune in with Chris Tannehill, Joe Ostrowski. That will give the White Sox fans something to reminisce about. You'll have Cubs fans who will be wistful about opening days gone by. But there's going to be a void there today that you're going to feel that maybe you didn't feel before. So you have to be, you know, every day that happens and every game that you miss, you've got to be more open to ideas that are creative, that are different, that are unconventional. And I give Scott Boras a lot of credit for coming up with some somewhat radical plans and proposals. 144 games, 162 games, that still seems to me, Zach, like a lot. I don't know that they're going to be able to get all of those in. If they start by June 1st, perhaps they will. They'd have to play a lot of doubleheaders. But I think this, no matter when you start, even if it's an 81-game season, even if for whatever reason in the unforeseen future, it has to be like 60-game season, 75-game season, if you crown a champion, it counts as a season. So if you are talking about issues like service time and you're the Major League Baseball Players Association, I look at it that way. If there's a World Series, then you and somebody, you know, was active in a season that crowned a champion, it's got to count. So that's going to be something that comes up in terms of contracts. It could be, it's going to be abbreviated in some form or fashion. But I just think everybody's got to keep an open mind. And if we do that, we can come up with a solution to a problem. I thought Rob Manfred was pretty creative as well. I like the idea of, I think people are going to have to get on board with this idea of the neutral site World Series because of the weather. You just don't want, can you imagine if the Cubs or the White Sox are in the World Series in mid-November?
Yeah, that I can see based on the way things are going right now. I don't think it's prudent to have the baseball season go all the way through Christmas time, because then I think you impact what may happen next season as well. But we all should stay flexible. And because of that, I think even in an abbreviated season, that the year should count as service time for players. We are in unique times. Everyone understands why. So to me, that's a non-issue. When it comes to the actual length of the season, I think 144 games or 162 games seems a little bit too ambitious given the times that we're in right now. But I do think you can create even an abbreviated regular season, where you kind of start the playoffs around the time where we would become accustomed to seeing the playoffs. That's assuming the medical people and the science allows you to have a safe season, which is the most important thing. I just don't see the need for a 162 or 144 stacking up doubleheaders. I think the players would probably be upset with that because it would impact the numbers that they could put up. Because if you're playing consistent doubleheaders, that means that you're not going to be able to consistently play the same relatively amount of games as an individual player as you normally would over the course of a season. How many days off do you get? Do you have expanded rosters in order to compensate for that? So I think given all those questions, I'd love to have a shorter regular season where you have an increased sense of urgency and almost like a football season where for 1 year you have a race to get into the playoffs unlike we've ever seen, which I think would be cool. And ever since the steroid scandal where they hijacked the numbers anyway, I don't worry about the numbers and the statistics this year, no matter how the season unfolds.
Zach, it's like we talked about last week. Do you think anybody could tell the 2013 Blackhawks that their Stanley Cup championship didn't mean as much because it was a shortened season?
Yeah, exactly. Or the 1999 San Antonio Spurs after the NBA had the work stoppage. Once you have a season, you're all in.
I didn't cover that one, Zach. I don't remember that one as well.
Was that the last time the Knicks were in the playoffs? It was 1999, by the way? I think it was that long ago. As far as playing 162 games or 144, Zach, I agree with you. I think that's just way too ambitious given the fact that we really still don't know when we're going to be able to play any games, you know, let alone start to plan out a season that spirals into late November and even into December. And I think you're right also on the fact that if you go too far toward the end of the year, I mean, forget all the weather stuff that you'd have to deal with, but then it starts to affect guys' routine and it will start to affect the 2021 season as well. And guys, you know, pushing themselves too far late this year where they're not allowed to get back on their schedule and in their routine for the next season after that. So you definitely don't want to do anything that impacts next year because this year's already obviously going to be impacted depending on how many games they play. 144, I think that's how many they played in 1995, so that's why this number came up. But I think I still think that is even way too many games given the fact that we're not even going to probably start this season until June, and even that is pretty optimistic because, like I said, we have no idea. You know, the peak of this thing is still probably weeks and weeks away. I mean, it might have to be 81 game season or 100 game season or something like that, and I think it's still a lot of games, and it will still be nice when Major League Baseball gets back and we're able to get into that summer routine and there's a game on every day. And again, Zach, I have to agree with you again on the doubleheaders thing. You don't want to do that because the players will not like it. The quality will suffer. Guys will get injured more frequently. You're going to have to start to add roster spots, which they probably don't want to do because they don't want to have to keep paying guys. They already don't want to pay the guys that are there. They don't want to have to pay another roster spot on top of the 26. So it's just a weird situation. I don't like the Scott Boras proposal. I don't like the neutral sites for the playoffs and definitely don't like having to jam-pack 140, 160 games into a abbreviated season because, I mean, the Cubs complain enough as it is. Just think about how much that we'd have to hear about it if they had to play all these doubleheaders stacked on top of each other with the schedule and everything.
Everyone's making some great points in terms of service time. I agree with you, David. If it's a season that has a beginning and at the end a champion is crowned, that is a season, regardless of how long, how many games it is. I think that should count as service time. In terms of the Scott Boras proposal and a Christmas neutral site playoff series, no, because Zach, you're right on. You know, this will, if you go that late into the winter, that's going to have an impact on next season. So I think, you know, just like everything else, you know, just like we're looking at in terms of people being able to go back to work, this is something that's going to be measured in 2 week increments. And every 2 weeks, we're going to have a status as to where we're at. So there's no way we could determine any of this, but that's definitely too late in the year, because we don't want to be hearing about a 2020 hangover. We already hear about World Series hangovers for those World Series teams. We'll be hearing about a 2020 hangover for the entire league. I don't want to hear those excuses next season.
I don't want to hear about any excuses. We have to be creative. Everything is on the table right now. Everything. Even the idea of playing them the World Series all in California. I don't like that idea right now because, unfortunately, that is one of the biggest hit areas right now. We're going to have baseball this year, some way, somehow. But I don't want to hear about the players aren't going to like it. Well, the numbers won't be reflective. And, oh, they'll be tired from playing doubleheaders. And, oh, it can't have – you have to put that to the side. You have to put that to the side. There's new metrics now, so numbers are viewed differently than ever before. So it's not going to be they didn't reach these certain milestones. So they can adjust it. If you were going to hit bonuses based on numbers, it could be adjusted from the 162 to the 120 to the 144, all that kind of stuff. I think there's so much to be talked about, and I'd love to hear the listeners, the fans, how, if you were Rob Manfred, how would you set this up? One thing next year, this coming baseball season, I would do, no interleague play. Absolutely no interleague play, not even Cubs and White Sox, which I absolutely love every year, even though they should only play one series, not two. But that would be the first thing. The first thing you do is get rid of all interleague play, and you'd actually have some excitement when you saw the American League and National League face off in that World Series, which probably, and I have to agree with Kevin, believe it or not, which probably will not be in the host city. But it has to be set. That neutral site has to be set. So not if a warm weather team or if a dome team makes it, then they get home field advantage. I don't like that idea either. Put a neutral site. If you so happen to be the city where the neutral site is named and you make it to the World Series, then God bless.
We should revisit that later, Dustin, because I think that's interesting. But I also wonder if the interleague aspect, because of scheduling and geography, you might have to do more rather than less. So
that's a good point, too.
I don't know.
Yes. Geographically, that does make sense.
And the other thing I wonder about, you raise a really good point, is that would players have a bigger spirit of cooperation when they come back and not be as whiny about some of the numbers and some of the fatigue?
I would sure hope so.
You would hope so. Yeah.
I haven't given that much thought, but it's a great question.
If you are a baseball player seeking a long-term contract, let's say Chris Bryant or Javi Baez, would you approach your team aggressively now to sign a deal to provide long-term security, perhaps fearing that the economic sports model will have been irreparably harmed by the COVID-19 layoff?
I think that if you're a player of the stature of Chris Bryant or Javier Baez, there will always be an opportunity for you to make a ton of money if you hit free agency, as long as the game of baseball is being played, no matter what kind of era we're talking about. The current CBA is set to expire on December 1st, 2021. Now think how much has changed in our world in the last 2 weeks alone. So I think it's impossible to be able to say what will happen by the time we hit the end of that CBA. And I think if you're a player, unless you have some personal financial issues that we're not aware of, it would probably benefit you to wait as long as possible until there's a new CBA to get a deal. Because if there is, all the experts say that there's going to be a vaccine at some point in the next year, year and a half, when it comes to this virus. Once that happens, eventually the world is going to get back to normal. We're just in a really difficult time right now because there isn't a vaccine for the virus. That's why we're going through all of this right now. But eventually they will have one. The world will return to normal, and those players will have an opportunity to make the kind of money that they've been used to making over the years.
Fair enough, Zach. I think that you can expect normalcy to return, but as far as this, the model of Major League Baseball, the model of professional sports, I hope that you're right, and I hope it's not irreparably broken, because I think here's the thing that I think is interesting, because we're sitting here talking about the last couple of weeks, NFL free agency, and the money has not really changed, and yet you're talking about a sport where the contracts aren't guaranteed. The money is crazy because the NFL, you know, it is obviously the most popular sport in America. As far as baseball, though, I mean, if Do you think the Cubs, who already were spending the winter, the story of the offseason was how they were trying to adhere to the competitive balance tax, do you really think that they're going to be in a better position to spend and afford both guys now after this really this layoff is going to rock baseball to its core and other sports, professional sports model? So if I'm Javi, if I'm Chris Bryant, I'm looking at this and I'm wondering, am I willing to accept less for that kind of security? Because I don't know what's going to happen after the 2021 new CBA. Am I more likely to be, you know, the quote-unquote hometown discount? I don't know. These are questions that I don't think we know the answers to, but it's a conversation that if I'm representing either guy or a player like that, I'm looking at the long-term benefits of having that kind of security, much like the White Sox mentality has been, and those players who have gotten those contracts and signed those extensions before all this happened.
I mean, I don't really think that just because of this unprecedented scenario that we're in right now with the season, pretty much everything, not only baseball, but everything kind of being delayed and altered and indefinitely, don't really know when the end of this is going to be. I just don't think that because of the situation, the scenario that we're in right now, that Chris Bryant or Javi Baez or anybody else should take less money or aggressively, you know, go bang on Tom Ricketts' door and be like, okay, here, I'll stay here for, you know, a cut rate price because of COVID-19. I don't think that makes any sense to me. I think that they'll eventually, whenever it is in the summer or even next year, God knows when they're going to start playing again, but they will start playing again at some point, and Chris Bryant and Javi Baez will still be excellent players at that point. I don't think that just if it's 6 months or a year down the road and they're still negotiating deals or, you know, trying to get an extension done, I don't think that they should take any less money that they would have, you know, 6 weeks ago or 2 months ago or whenever. And thank you to whomever just yawned directly into their microphone during my answer. So I'll pass the baton to Ray.
You're welcome, Kevin. That's my gift to you, buddy.
Right, working from home.
That's my gift to you.
Kevin brought coffee into the studio, so I won't be yawning.
Yeah,
I'm charged up
for me and Ray.
Woo! Fired up with some Dunkin'.
Can you bring me a
wear gloves,
Coke,
Ray?
Hurst, player?
All right. So in terms of how we're looking at this, in terms of this COVID-19 layoff, I agree with Kevin. I know everything is unknown right now. We have a lot of questions surrounding when sports will return, when baseball will return. There's a lot unknown about a new CBA. I just think you can't change your way of thinking if you are in the position of Javi Baez or Chris Bryant right now. I don't think you take a hometown discount or a deal. I understand, David, your point about security. I just still think you wait. You wait till the end of this pandemic. You wait to get paid.
I think there's two sides of this. Number one, I truly believe at some point we are going to get back to normal. We're going to go to Wrigley Field. We're going to go to 35th and Shields. We're going to get together and we're going to watch baseball in stadiums together, basketball, hockey, NFL. That is going to happen. But if I was a baseball player or an owner at this time, I would not rush into any kind of financial agreements because of the unknown. Right? There's no reason to rush. Don't be a pessimist. A pessimist, somebody without any hope, without any faith, would run to Tom Ricketts and genuflect and say, "Please, Tom, whatever you're willing to give me, I'll take." No, no, absolutely not. No, I can't.
What about the Cubs going to them? What if the Cubs went to them? That'd be.
I would hope that the player and the agent would see right through that. And shame on the Cubs if they did that.
Don't ask stupid questions. That's ridiculous.
The Bears signed free agent Jermaine Ifedi to a one-year prove-it deal, the fourth former first-round draft pick signed by Pace this offseason. Ifedi started 60 games in 4 seasons for the Seahawks, mostly at right tackle, but the Bears may try him at guard. What do you think of this move?
I think that the Ryan Pace reclamation tour continues, and he's trying to win now, and you're getting guys who didn't make it with their first teams, and they're sort of, if Ryan Pace can relate to anything in the NFL, it's having a first rounder who didn't live up to potential. So he knows the plight of these players well, and he's trying to take advantage of Artie Burns and you know, Robert Quinn, and you look at now the latest with the Fetty and Mingo, for that matter. These are guys who have the talent, they have the skill set, they have the raw potential, but they haven't realized it for whatever reason. And there's a wide range of reasons. In Ifedi's case, I think that he was deemed expendable by the Seahawks because he had issues with the yellow flag. I mean, when you're tied for the third in the league in penalties last year with 13, 8 false starts, 5 holds, that's not a good season. He may be very good at certain things, and he may be better if he moves inside and isn't isolated as much, but I think that's where the Bears are going to take a look at him. In 2017, by the way, he led the league in penalties with 20, so Charles Leno just had the pressure taken off him. Everybody's going to be watching this new guy to see how he triggers the flags. But look, you take a step back and you remember that they're looking at Alex Bars there as a guy that they are counting on, and they had to use Rashad Coward there, a converted defensive lineman, last year. This is an upgrade. This is progress.
I'm going to be as nice as possible. The only place you ever hear Alex Bars' name is on this show. You don't hear the Bears talking
Thank
about
you.
Alex Bars as someone that is a realistic answer. So can we please stop with that? It's a media creation. Enough's enough. If he wows you off of practices and preseason games, that's a different story. But that clearly hasn't happened. Now, I think in this situation with Ifedi, what you're looking at is a guy who didn't just have penalty issues last season, but has committed 52 of them in 60 career games as an NFL player. The reason the Bears are taking a flyer on this guy is because coming out of Texas A&M, he was clearly a talented enough player to be a first-round pick. And when you have first-round pick talent coming out of college and a team lets you go, it's smart, I think, if you feel like you have trust in your coaching staff and your system, to take a shot maybe where it doesn't cost you a lot financially, and maybe there's a big payoff if somehow it clicks together. Sometimes it does, you know, sometimes it doesn't. And we've seen situations on the Bears where it has clicked in. For example, you know, Akeem Hicks, you wonder how he went from New Orleans to New England before coming to the Bears and becoming a star player. So sometimes it does click. When it doesn't, you don't worry about it. But I don't have a problem taking a chance on this guy. The real problem is the fact that the Bears on their roster as constituted today have more first-round picks from other teams than they have of their own. Just 3 on the roster that the Bears picked in the first round themselves. That's been the issue for the Bears for the longest possible time, and it's the reason that the Bears consistently find themselves in a situation where they have to hope to make the playoffs as opposed to knowing that they'll make the playoffs.
Yeah, to me, this looks like a general manager kind of scrambling for his job and just trying to throw stuff at the wall and see what sticks. He is dealing with a cap-strapped situation that he made himself. He's the one that got them into this mess. And now this is where he finds himself. He I'm sure, and I talked about this a week ago or whenever it was, but I think Ryan Pace is definitely feeling the heat on his seat right now. And I think that he's just throwing things at the wall and trying to, you know, hit on somebody, change the scenery, you know, former first-round picks, anybody really. I don't know, you know, the penalty thing from this Ifedi character. Not don't know much about him, but hearing all of the penalty talk sounds really scary to me, given how many penalties the offensive line committed last season. I think bringing in a guy who's just going to add to that doesn't sound appealing to me. Again, there is always that change of scenery notion that maybe you get a guy out of a spot, you bring him into a new system, you give him different voices and new responsibilities, whatever the hell Ryan Pace is thinking here. He's just kind of winging it. He's ripping shots at this point. And I think, you know, the Bears better get Ernie Accorsi back on the phone because they might be looking for a new general manager a year from now.
I don't like this move, and it's because of the exact point, Zach and Kevin, that you bring up with the penalties. Look, you know, you brought up the number of penalties, Zach. Ifedi had 13 last season, tied for 5th in the NFL, and you're going to put him on the offensive line with Charles Leno Jr., the penalty machine? I don't like that. I just do not. I can't believe I'm about to say this, But I'd actually prefer to see Alex Barrs at right guard as opposed to this guy who's going to, I mean, hopefully he doesn't stack up his many penalties.
Ray, don't do that. You'll get scolded for reading a depth chart.
I know. But I don't like pairing, you know, Ifedi with a guy like Charles Leno Jr.
Yeah, but no one is saying that he's a starter. I agree. I mean, Ray, what's wrong with bringing him in, giving him an opportunity to see if he adjusts to what the Bears are doing? And if it works, great. If not, next up.
I agree, Zach. And I just fear that he'll look good enough to be your starter, your starting right guard, and then somewhere in the season you see the penalties begin to stack up. But I hope you're right, and I hope he, you know, he looks good and improves on the penalty situation.
Alex Barrs, Alex Barrs, Alex Barrs, Alex Barrs, Alex Barrs, Alex Barrs. That was for you, Zach. I think Tom Thayer is a big fan of Alex Barrs. So let's not say that Alex Barrs is never.
Wonder why that is.
I believe
everywhere you look, a Domer is doing something on Sundays. Okay,
I believe
get that straight.
I believe I said the only place where you consistently hear his name is on this show, and that hasn't changed.
Well, Thayer brings him up. Biggs brings him up all the time.
On this show.
I bring him up all the time on this show, right. The number one rated sports talk show in the city of Chicago, so it's a good place to get your information. I'm fine with the move. This doesn't now make everybody sit there and scream at Ryan Pace that he has to take an offensive lineman with one of those two second-round picks. It gives him a little bit of cover. It creates competition. I'm all for creating competition. He is a former first-round pick, so he had the measurables that got him to that point. A change of scenery can be good, and hopefully this guy is smart enough to realize that he is on a one-year prove-it deal, and if he would like to keep playing in the NFL, he's going to have to cut back, way back, on those penalties. The biggest red flag is the penalties. You cannot have these kinds of penalties, especially if Mitch Trubisky somehow is going to be the starting quarterback week one for the Bears.
Yeah, okay, so that's a good question.
Should college senior student athletes who had their final season of spring sports competition wiped out by COVID-19 be permitted to return for their final season of eligibility? And would you extend that same offer to seniors of winter sports like basketball deprived of their last tournament? And can anything be done about high school athletes?
Would you want to stay in high school for a fifth year if you didn't have to?
No.
I asked that rhetorically because I don't think anyone would say,
yes.
Yeah, I'd love
absolutely.
To stay in high school. I mean, unless you're Al Bundy or
Uncle
Dustin.
Rico.
Yeah, I don't think that is moving forward in life. The difference when it comes to the college sports, it's an easy answer for the spring. Yes, for all the spring sports that were canceled, it's a very easy answer. I think what becomes a little bit more difficult is for the winter sports. For me, it's easy to sit here in my living room and say, yes, bring them back. I don't know what the budgets are for each college. Does that impact your scholarships available for the incoming freshmen that you had? And, you know, maybe that's a question that we'll ask Jim Phillips coming up later on the show, the Northwestern AD. But it's a little bit more complicated with that. But I think the difference is in college, you can actually graduate after 4 years and then continue to pursue your master's. So there's a way to do it. High school, I can't see anyone wanting to stay the extra year. With the spring sports, because there wasn't any money spent with travel, playing games, nutrition, all that stuff throughout the course of this season, it's easy to bring those guys back for next year. It gets a little bit more complicated with the winter sports. And for me, the answer is yes. I don't know if the colleges will see it the same way.
I think high school is one of those life lessons that's going to be a difficult one to take and absorb and move on from, but it's one that you're going to have to just deal with. And it's going to be something you always look back at as feeling like there are going to be teams that went undefeated, I think, and you know, high school basketball teams that feel like they were, you know, not able to finish the job they started, and they always had a dream. And that's just part of life, unfortunately. I don't think you can do anything about that. You don't want to have a fifth year of high school. That's not practical, and it's not real. That's not real productive either. As for colleges, I'm a bit mixed. I don't think you can do it in winter sports. I just don't. I think that you had enough of a season that the way that it ended doesn't change the fact that you did get, and this ending was incomplete, you did get an opportunity to play the majority of the games and to participate in a way that was you were on scholarship. And so it didn't end with cutting down the nets in March and you didn't have your one shining moment. And that's unfortunate. But again, I do think it's probably one of those things where you have to find a way to move on. And I don't know that it's, you're affecting too many lives. There are recruits across the country that made decisions based on teams who were graduating certain players in certain sports and certain, you know, decisions that were made and lives that were affected. I just think the domino effect would be too great. As for spring sports, I have a little bit more of an open mind, I think, because there are some people out there, their seasons didn't start, and if they're willing to put their lives on hold for that one last, you know, opportunity, I think there's enough time now. I think there's enough reason to believe they were truly, as the entire season probably taken away in some cases, and maybe, or the majority of a season in others. But those are the ones that I think they would have to study. Those are the ones that I think that they would have to welcome. But I don't think winter sports or high school athletes makes any sense to me.
No, it doesn't make any sense to me either. It's just, and the big thing that I was thinking of, David, and you brought it up, I mean, think about the recruiting classes behind these kids that are already in school. They made these decisions based on the fact that outgoing players would open up possibilities for them, and, you know, the playing time factors you have to think about too. I mean, it's just logistically it would be too complicated to give anybody another year of eligibility for winter or spring sports, quite frankly. I mean, it's just because somebody can't play lacrosse in the spring, you're going to give them another year of eligibility, or somebody wants to stay in high school for another year. I mean, come on, tough toenails, graduate, get a job.
I do like extending the invitation to athletes for the spring sports, because, I mean, this is a severe impact on these seasons, and we don't even know if they're going to happen yet. They may not. Hopefully they will, but we don't know. But in terms of the winter sports, I mean, the season's pretty much done. I mean, it sucks that we didn't get to see an NCAA tournament, but there are larger issues at hand here. It is what it is. And in terms of high school athletes, yeah, you just got to move on.
Ray, you're right. There are more bigger things going on right now, but we're talking about sports, and these are the big issues in sports right now. All winter and spring NCAA athletes that want to stick around for another year should be given that opportunity. I can't wait for 7 o'clock. I can't wait to hear Jim Phillips address this. Here's the thing. How many, especially if we went into the smaller non-revenue generating sports, how many of them 5th, 6th years of eligibility because they had an ACL, they had an elbow, they had an Achilles, so they get an extra year? And absolutely, high school athletes from the winter and the spring sports, if they, not the fall, winter and spring sports, if they want to come back, they should be allowed to come back. I understand you're going to get another, you know, 8th graders are coming in and they'll be freshmen and everybody's moving up a year. The numbers will be very small. There's not going to be a ton of people. But if you look, I bet every person on this panel knows somebody that got held back either in the 8th grade or all the way back into kindergarten because their parents wanted them to be the bigger, badder, faster athlete going into high school. Right? So don't act like this doesn't exist. This happens all the time. All the time. These high school kids, could you imagine being a senior in high school this year? It's the absolute worst year ever. I've got two kids that are in school right now. They're not high school age kids. They are desperate to go back to school. And that has nothing to do with the fact that they have to live under the same roof as me before all the texters get after me. They want to be back with their friends. They want normalcy. You should not strip this away. And I think the numbers would be very small on the high school sports level that would want to come back for that 5th year. But it should be an option. If you can go to college for 5, 6, and even 7 years, why couldn't you go to high school for 5 years?
Well, that's a lot of questions. I almost have to look at them for a while.
Courtesy of ESPN's Adam Schefter, what do you think of the idea to break the NFL draft into 7 different nights and televise each round of the draft, perhaps extending the time allotted for first-round selections and making the NFL draft into a week-long TV reality show?
I don't think that Roger Goodell will probably entertain that idea. He doesn't want to push it back at all, according to what we talked about yesterday, and looking forward to talking to Greg Gabriel at 6:40 about some of those reasons why. But have you watched some of the stuff on television this week? Have you seen some of the stuff that passes as sports content on ESPN and the ESPN variations? Of course, I would be all for 1 through 7, 7 nights in a row. You know, if you don't want to, you have plenty of programming you could put. If people are tuning out in the 6th and 7th round, do some interviews from however, talk to people around the league, build storylines, tell these guys tales, get behind the scenes. To me, that sounds a lot more interesting than watching old games that you already know how they turn out. The draft is one of the best reality shows going. The suspense, the unexpected turns and twists and everything, it's emotional, it's real. So, and it affects your favorite football team. And everybody loves the NFL. It's America's most popular sport. If you can squeeze 7 days out of the draft, I'm all in, all 7 days.
I feel like rounds 1 and 2 should be on their own, and everything else should be bunched up together. But in this city, it doesn't really matter because, again, just like this show, for whatever reason, we are a football town that spends more time talking about the 53rd man on the roster. I mean, we spent an entire offseason last year talking about kickers. We spent most of this offseason talking about compensatory draft picks. When you're interested in that stuff, then yeah, if you love that kind of talk, then an entire week of the NFL draft is for you. If you care about winning, which unfortunately doesn't happen often here, then you'd care about the 1st and 2nd rounds. If you make your hay in those rounds, you're going to have a good football team. When you don't, you run into a situation, for example, that the Bears are in, where, you know, you make the playoffs once every 5-6 years, if you're lucky, and then you got to go through that cycle again. But I think in this landscape, like David said, where, you know, we haven't had just about anything to watch from a sports standpoint other than games of yesteryear, could it really hurt? No, I don't think it would.
People would definitely watch it. David, like you said, there's very little new sports content on the air right now, and some of the stuff that has been on passing for sports content has been pretty brutal. So if you put this thing across a whole week, people would definitely watch it. I would probably only watch the first day, but a lot of people would watch every single day of this thing. People are disgusting.
Yeah, the pickings are slim for sports on television. So, yeah, and people are in love with the NFL. It's an absolute yes to this.
Sure, absolutely. At the current moment, absolutely. But understand, NFL, after this, when we get back to normalcy, and we're going to get back to normalcy, we are. I really believe we are. Then you're going to go back to the 2 or 3 days. I already don't like the fact that they've made the first round a prime time event on Thursday nights. I hate that. I liked when it was all day Saturday and all day Sunday, and that was it. Right now, sure, one round a day, no problem. But realize when we get back, we got to go back to the way it was.
But why? What if rounds 5, 6, and 7, because of the stories that are told, and look, some of the best stories from a human interest standpoint are the guys that go rounds 4 through 7 because they're given these second and third chances. They may have dropped because of, look at Eddie Jackson. He's in the 4th round because he broke his leg. I mean, those are the kind of tales you tell because, you know what, when you get down to it, it's a TV show. It's a television show.
But then you also get into real life issues. Remember, we're in a unique time right now where everything is shut down. But normally, sandwiched around the NFL draft would be OTAs, mini camps, rookie mini camps following it. And you don't want to disrupt the entire flow of the offseason, which is a critical time, especially for teams that are bringing in new quarterbacks and new offensive personnel and all that kind of stuff.
If somebody can make money off it, they will disrupt anything and everything. And so if this is if it would be a rating success, it would be back again when things return to normal. I love the idea. I know good points. good stuff, but I don't think it'll happen this year anyway, but it is good fun to discuss. Okay, that's the 5 at 5. Let us know what you think. 312-644-6767. You can text us at 670-11. We come back. We're going to talk about opening day. Rob Manfred spoke. Do you like the idea of doubleheaders once a week, once every 2 weeks? What do you think about seven-inning games if you're going to play a doubleheader and multiple doubleheaders in the course of a month? What do you think about interleague play? Dustin will eliminate interleague play. What do you think about the idea of a neutral site World Series played in, what, December? 312-644-6767. Zach Zabin in for Mully. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.